topic is the prohibition against eating matzah on Erev Pesach, which I think we've probably all heard of. We may even extend it beyond Erev Pesach. I'm guessing that's likely the minhag just about everyone here. But we're going to look at some of the sources. It's not just a late minhag, although extending it as far as we do is relatively late. But this really goes back to the Yerushalmi, this idea of not eating matzah on Erev Pesach. So we'll try to understand the reason for the prohibition, exactly when it applies, and to what sorts of matzah it applies. And these questions will relate to one another, but as we try to understand the reason why we don't have matzah on Erev Pesach, we'll explore these issues and hopefully get a better appreciation for matzah. It's just about a week away. So there's a lot to prepare, not just practically, but also conceptually. So we'll start with source number one is the Mishnah at the last parak of Psachim, known as Arvei Psachim. And the first Mishnah starts with talking about what you shouldn't do on Erev Pesach. It doesn't mention our topic, but it says, Erev Pesachim samach l'mincha lo yochal adam ad shetechshach. Erev Pesach, close to mincha, let's say around 3 in the afternoon and on, you shouldn't eat until it gets dark. You're not supposed to eat on Erev Pesach. If you look in the Gemara, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, you have the Yerushalmi here, it says how you're supposed to have an appetite. You want to have an appetite for matzah, so you shouldn't eat a bunch in the afternoon. You shouldn't start a meal in the afternoon of Erev Pesach, even according to the view of Rabbi Yossi, that you're allowed to start meals on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yontif. For Erev Pesach, we have a special extra reason not to, in order that you have an appetite for matzah. So Tosfos there, source number 2, on this Mishnah, asks the question of what exactly are you not eating the afternoon of Erev Pesach. So let's read the Tosfos, Lo Yochal Adam, Perish Afilu Hispal, even if you already daven Mincha, you shouldn't eat Umishum Matzah. Right? This is about Matzah, Kedamrina, Bigmar, Deblo Hispal, Tulas Mincha, Afilu Bishari, Mosa Shana, Aser. There's also this issue of if you haven't daven Mincha yet, you're not supposed to eat a meal. So leaving that aside, assuming you already daven Mincha, you shouldn't eat because we want you to have an appetite for Matzah. And he quotes Perkama of Shabbos. And then he says, Ve'im Tomar Uma Lo Yochal. Right? We say you're not supposed to eat Pesach, Erev Pesach afternoon. What exactly are you not eating? E Matzah Afilu Kodem Nami Asur. You can't have matzah even earlier than 3 p.m. You can't have matzah from an earlier point in the day. Kedamrina of Yerushalmi, and we're going to see this Yerushalmi in a second. Kol Ochel Matzah Be'erev Pesach Ilu Bola Rusasa Ve'es Chamiv. So we're going to get to the exact Gemara on that, but you're really not supposed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. So obviously you're not going to have it the afternoon of Erev Pesach. You can't even have it before the late afternoon. V'ibim mini targima, if it's snacks, not a real meal, hamer b'gvar avol metabel b'mini targima, you're allowed to have snacks as long as you don't fill up. So what's prohibited to eat? V'yesh lomer da'ayri b'matzah ashira, de'lo aser v'yershalmi el b'matzah r'uya latzeis b'chovaso. Must be, we're talking about a prohibition against having matzah ashira, which you can't fulfill the mitzvah of matzah on Pesach, unless you're sick. But under normal circumstances, matzah ashira, you can't fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. So it's also not prohibited to have that on Erev Pesach. And in fact, the ochel kodem zman, you're allowed to eat it before the time of matzah ashira, sharia, v'chein hayanoag rabbeinu tam. Rabbeinu tam would always do this. Erev Pesach, he'd always have matzah ashira, he'd have egg matzahs on Erev Pesach, not too late in the afternoon, but that would be his lunch on Erev Pesach. Okay, I don't know how many of us have that practice. We'll see. It's a little controversial. But fine. But Tosfos says, we have this prohibition against eating matzah and Erev Pesach from the Yerushalmi. We're going to see in a minute. But it doesn't apply to matzah ashira. So we'll see that. We'll get into some of those details in a bit. But first, this is sort of how it comes up in the main sources. The Bavli does not mention this prohibition at all. It's only in the Yerushalmi that we're about to see. And then the Rishonim all bring it down and paskin it lehalacha. But that's interesting, right? You wouldn't have guessed that something that's very widespread, not having matzah on Erev Pesach, you might not have guessed that that doesn't appear in the Bavli at all. But let's look now at the Yerushalmi.
It makes so much sense. So,
it's so obvious. The Bavli didn't need to say it.
I don't know. Just...
Yeah, okay. Right? I mean, it would be interesting if we, in a parallel universe, you could have seen the Rishonim saying, look, the Bavli doesn't pass this, so we hold like the Bavli against the Yerushalmi. Eat as much matzah and Erev Pesach as you want.
Right, just so in the spirit of things. Like, forget about anything Jewish. I'm just like the idea, about that matzah, I'm excited about it.
Okay. Okay, I hear it. You see, you really like the svara of the Yerushalmi, or at least one of the approaches based on the Yerushalmi. So let's take a look at the Yerushalmi here. Also, this is the first sugya in at the beginning of the last parak of Pesachim. Erev Pesachim, Sevel Chumin, Chol Yochol Adam Ad Sheteksach, Afilu Ad Reish Yisrael, Lo Yochol Ad Sheyaseh, Lo Yifchzu Lo Me'arba Koso, Shel Yayin, Afilu Ad Tamkli. That's the Mishnah. And then the Gemara, we're not going to read the first few lines. The Gemara basically talks about the same sugya we have in the Bavli of are you allowed to eat Erev Shabbos and Yom Tif in the afternoon? Is Pesach, Erev Pesach different? And basically the idea is, even according to the view, or, you know, either this is agreeing with the view that it's us or always, or maybe there's some special view that even if it's usually permitted to eat on Erev Shabbos, it's not in the afternoon, it's not permitted on Erev Pesach. And then a question about stopping. If you started a meal on Erev Shabbos, do you need to stop it once Shabbos starts? And a whole debate about that. Fine, let's jump now to the eighth or ninth line, the second to last of the first paragraph in source 3, about a third of the way down. Mahu lochal mine kisnin, mahu lochal mine targima. What about not having bread, but having kisnin is mizonos, mine targima is other, hadama, eights type snacks. Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, sachavit sacha, he took a shower, he was thirsty, he wanted to eat something in Erev Pesach. Shal, Rav Mana, begin to asa tzachi mahu nishti. Well, if I'm thirsty, what can I drink? Amarle, Tani Rav Chia, asa ladam litom klum anche tachshach. You're not allowed to eat anything. So this is an extreme view. We don't paskin like this, that the afternoon, the late afternoon of Erev Pesach, you can't eat anything at all. Nothing at all. Not even a drink. Right? It's like a fast. And right after that, that's where we have Rav Levi say our line that we're going to focus on. Amar Rav Levi, ochel matzah be'erev Pesach. One who eats matzah in Erev Pesach, kibbal arusasu beis chamid. It's like a man who sleeps with his betrothed in the house of his father-in-law. Ve'abal arusasu beis chamid loke. And of course, someone who does that gets malchus. So it's an interesting comparison. We're going to see how the different Rishonim explain it. This may be the source of the word unbridled in the title, right? Because she's not yet married. So eating matzah in Erev Pesach is like an unbridled Baal HaRusasa Beis Chamiv. And I can't pass this line without mentioning the line attributed to Bialik. I think he said, I tried both of them and they were not equivalent. So that's, I think, mandatory to cite. But okay, this is the very important line in the Yerushalmi. We'll see how the Rishonim address it. What exactly the reasoning is here. Yeah. Well, yeah, so we saw the view so far that, like, in the afternoon, not to have anything. We're about to see, in a minute, not to eat at all the day before. We'll see that in a minute. And, of course, we have that minhag of Tanis Pechoros, right? So this would seem to be an exception if, in general, we don't fast on Erev Yontif. Exceptions are Erev Purim and Erev Pesach, right? And people may remember, we did this about a month ago, Erev Purim, there was a piece that the Shadim, right, or the different demonic figures, right? Rav Yosef Karo mentions that he heard in a dream from an angel that the reason why we fast on Erev Purim and on Erev Pesach is both Purim and Pesach involve a lot of drinking, and you have to sort of beat down your Yetzer Hara and these demonic forces by fasting. That way they won't overpower you the next day when you drink a lot. So, I don't know, maybe that's why those are different, but that it is interesting. These are like exceptional cases. Tanis Esther and Tanis Bechoros, not for everyone, but at least for Bechoros, this idea of fasting on Erev Pesach and Erev Purim, you know, that's not usually our practice, as you said. Okay, so this is Rav Levi's point, and the comparison to Baal Arusaso, what's the common denominator there? Presumably, it's you're sort of jumping the gun, right? If you're looking forward to something exciting, a different sort of situation, namely Pesach, and eating matzah, you shouldn't jump the gun. You should wait until the appropriate time. Do your Pesach things on Pesach, just like you should do married things when you're married and not before. Right? That's the basic idea. And there's an additional point, because Arusa, of course, it's sort of middle status, right? There's two different stages to a Jewish marriage, Erusin and Nisuin. Erusin is the period after which one is the woman is prohibited to everyone else, but is also prohibited to her husband or her betrothed. And then after Nisuin, they're permitted to be together. So in some ways, we'll see the Rishonim say, matzah is similar to that, or people, we're similar to that in relation to matzah, because at a certain point, chametz becomes usser, so we're prohibited to have chametz, and we're betrothed to matzah, as it were, we're about to get married to matzah, but not yet. So matzah is also usser. So there's a period of time, just like a betrothed woman is prohibited both to everyone else and to her husband-to-be, so too, us, on Erev Pesach, we can't have anything else, we can't have any chametz, and we can't even have matzah until Pesach starts. So this is a nice additional comparison. We'll see people take it even further.
That analogy is not perfect, but the idea is...
Yeah, where's the disanalogy?
Because you're substituting chametz in the first part of that sentence. While with the betrothed woman, it's the same woman.
So, but I think you have to compare, you have to say, us, we are in the place of the woman. And the rest of the world is chametz, and the woman's betrothed is matzah. And then I think it matches up nicely.
So we're the woman.
We're the woman in this case.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think of it that way.
Yeah, but I think that actually matches up nicely. We'll see somebody showing him invoke that directly. So that's Rabbi Levi's. No. You're saying usually we think of the, well, I think the Isser is on both the man and the woman, so I don't think that goes one way or the other.
So the Habba is the person doing the action.
The male.
Okay. So yeah, in that sense, it's maybe a bit of a disanalogy, but in terms of the everything else versus the betrothed,
if
it works nicely.
Why wouldn't these days come up? It would be anywhere.
Yeah, I think that may just be for vividness that's introduced, right?
In the time of the year.
Okay, that's the point.
The base come up in terms of right before Pesach.
Maybe, although once she's in Arusa, you know, let's say Baal Arusa, so somewhere else, is that any different?
Yeah, but that's even more.
Yeah, it's like emphasizing that you're almost there. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting parallel.
That's only a minhag.
That's I mean, we say it's about confusing the satan, but yeah, I mean it's not a real iser.
And this
seems to be stronger than that. This seems to be a real iser. I haven't seen anyone compare them, although it is a very attractive comparison, right? That you're about to enter something, so you don't. Although shofar,
but you're holding back. So
right.
What you do is be nikar.
Right. So nikar, we'll get to that in a few minutes. That's one of the approaches here. And the nikar approach, if you take the nikar approach by both matzah and erev Pesach and shofar and erev Rosh Hashanah, then it works nicely. Most of the approaches will not be about Nikar, and by Rosh Hashanah, the main thing people like to say is confusing the Satan, whatever exactly that means, however exactly you interpret that.
You're allowed to practice,
right? It's, yeah, that's true, right? And also another difference is Rosh Hashanah, every day in Elul, you're sort of working up to Shofar, whereas before Pesach, you double your Chametz consumption before Pesach, I think, from what I can tell. Yeah. Erev Yom Kippur, right? Again, that's like the contrast, right? You fast on Erev Yom Kippur, so you should eat. You fast on Yom Kippur, so you should eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Yeah, it's an interesting idea. I mean, there's a lot of different understandings of that. Is that like a displaced Yom Kippur? You want to have a suit on Yom Kippur because that was Kabbalah Zatorah, so you sort of push it back. Is fasting, is eating an Erev Yom Kippur a way of preparing you to fast to make it easier to fast? Is it supposed to make it harder to fast? You think those would be mutually exclusive, but people give both of those answers. We have to ask some doctors to figure out how best it works. But yeah. There is this idea of the contrast, right? A stark contrast on the day before. I don't know if anyone's developed that into a theory, but you know, we probably, if we worked hard enough, we could probably make up a whole new mahalach here. Yeah? Okay, we'll do it. We'll have the Shir article. Okay, so let's continue in the Yerushalmi. We just read the underlined piece, and these are not going to be exactly on the same point, but they'll be related, and they'll color a little bit this line of Rabbi Levi. Tani Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer. Bein chametz, bein matzah, aser. You're not allowed to have chametz or matzah on Erev Pesach. Or you're not allowed to eat either of them. Sounds like all day, not fully clear. Rabbi Simon, Meshim, Rabbi Yeshub and Levi. Rabbi, lo haya ochel, lo chametz, lo matzah. You wouldn't have chametz or matzah. Lo matzah, minadad Rabbi Levi. Wouldn't have matzah, because Rabbi Levi said no matzah on Erev Pesach. Velo chametz, minadad Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. According to Rebbe Mivzera, no chametz all day on Erev Pesach. We don't hold like that. We hold no chametz from Chatzos and on Midoraisa and from Midorabanan from 4 hours and on about 10 or this time of year, closer to 11 and on, no chametz. But Rebbe Mivzera held all day no chametz. Pasuk says, Lo sishcha no chametz dam zivchi. So that means Erev Pesach no chametz. Okay. And then we said, Rebbe, Talmud Rebbe Yudah Mivzera, Hava, would Rebbe have followed Yudah Mivzera, but he's a Talmud of Rav Yaakov. Okay, so that's not the reason why. Ela begin to have a bechor. Rebbe was a bechor and he fasted Tainis Bechoros. So this is the source for Tainis Bechoros. Amr of Mana, Rav Yona, Abba, have a bechor, have a achil. Okay, he was bechor, he would eat, so he didn't have that minhag. Amr of Tamchuna, lo min hada, ela min hada. Not because of that, but because of this. Why did Rebbe not eat chametz or matzah on Erev Pesach? Rebbe, istanis hava, he was finicky. He wasn't good with eating a lot. Kad achil be a mama. If he would eat by day, he wouldn't eat at night. And he needed to eat at night because it was Pesach. He was going to have a lot to eat, a lot of matzah and maror, and, you know, well, not Pesach in his time, but there was a lot to do. So he couldn't eat by day. He didn't want to eat by day to enter Shabbos with an appetite. So maybe that was a Shabbos case, although it seems like we're talking about Erev Pesach, so I don't know why it says Shabbos. But either way, that was Rebbe's view. So we see this idea of Rebbe Levi is taken seriously, but then not. We sort of move away from it. It's not exactly clear if this was done by everyone, but all the Rishonim seem to paskin this and say, we hold like this, no matzah on Erev Pesach. And we'll see a variety of reasons given as to why to do that. So this is the main source, this one underlying line in the Yerushalmi. That's really the key source that everything is going to hinge on. Okay? Questions, comments? Let's jump into the reasons. So there's a few different reasons that are given among the Geonim and Rishonim. We'll start with the Bahag, source number 4, Sefer Alachus Gedolos. And he says, the Asir lemechal matzah miba'od yom, you can't eat matzah from when it's day, mikami deliktish ve'omer hagada ve'halas. This is an interesting formulation. You can't eat matzah until you do Kiddush, Haggadah, and Hallel. Right? Basically, until you're up to matzah in the Seder. Meaning this extends the Isser. What we saw until now, it was Asir to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. But presumably it wouldn't be usher if you came home. Let's say you want to come home, you do your kadesh, and you're hungry. You want to have matzah. Is there an isser in doing it? It didn't sound like that from the Yerushalmi, but the Bahag says, no, that's also usher. That's the same isser. You got to do it in order. You have to have kiddush, haggadah, hallel, the first half of hallel. Then you're up to matzah. Right? But if you do it out of order, you're jumping the gun. That's also usher. Interesting. He seems to add that. And he has a source, shenemar, ba'erev, tochlu matzos. This is the source for matzah being d'oraisa b'zmanazeh, ba'erev tochlu matzos. He says, well, ba'erev tochlu matzos, but not by day. So if you eat matzah before it's time, that's usher based on this pasuk. And then he gives an explanation as well, both a pasuk and an explanation. The explanation is, k'dei she'yehei chaviv alav. I think this is maybe the most widespread explanation. It should be beloved, right? You should want to have your matzah at night. If you add matzah already during the day, you know, it sort of wears off. The thrill of the cracker wears off after maybe one or two matzos. So you want to make sure that you reserve that thrill for fulfilling the mitzvah. Mashal la'arus, shabal arus asabes chamiv. And he says it's a mashal, right, with the betrothed couple that jumps the gun. So some achronim say this can't possibly mean what it sounds like. It sounds like what he's saying is there's an isser d'oraisa, but erev tochlu matzah is an isser aseh. And they say that can't be. We need this pasuk to teach the mitzvah aseh. There shouldn't be a lot in addition to it. So I think if you're following the standard rules of how most rishonim count mitzvos, you're totally right, and this wouldn't be a real mitzvah. However, the Bahag is sort of known for playing a little fast and loose with that. And the Bahag, for example, if I recall, counts a mitzvah of Hallel midoraisa, counts a mitzvah of Chanukah midoraisa. He has a whole bunch of things that the Rambam attacks him for saying are d'oraisa, because the Gaonim were very into making more things d'oraisa for a variety of reasons. Either they weren't as into the rules that the Rambam and others came up with. Maybe some of it was, you know, against the Karaites. The Karaites said, it's not in the Torah, it doesn't count. They said, no, dafka, it's d'oraisa, even though it's not in the Torah. Whatever exactly the reason, the Gaonim in general were more into making things d'oraisa, including and especially the Bahag. So I think the simplest way of reading the Bahag himself is that it is Del-Raisa. He's saying it is Del-Raisa, although that's certainly not the main view, and most, you know, everyone who discusses it afterwards doesn't want to say that, but maybe he meant it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a positive statement to say Eretz Yisrael Matzos, yet in practice we refrain from it. So it's not that distinct from Eretz Yisrael Matzos, don't eat Erev Yom
Kippur. There are, you're totally right. There are things where it's formulated as a positive, but really counts as a negative. I think by Yom Kippur, we also say that it's Te'anuas Nafsho Seichen, right? Which the Gemara says is a lav. The prohibition against eating is tanu, which is formulated in the positive. So those things flip from positive to negative. But here you have the additional problem of how can it count for both? But Erev Tochlu Matzos is the source for eating matzah being d'oraisa b'zman hazeh. When you have Pesach, we have umatzos al meror miyochluhu. But when you don't have carbon, that pasuk is talking about carbon Pesach with matzah. If you don't have carbon Pesach, the source for matzah is Erev Tochlu Matzos. So it can't, you know, usually that wouldn't be the source to eat matzah and the source not to eat matzah early. Usually you'd have to have one or the other. As I said, some achronim pick up on this. So based on the standard rules of drashos, this wouldn't get you a d'oraisa, but maybe the Bahag himself thinks it is d'oraisa. Yeah.
Does the Gaon adopt the constraint of 613
mitzvos? Sort of. Meaning there are, yes, but not in a scientific way. But there's a much longer discussion you can look at. Yeah. So they have, you see there's like, I think Rav Sadia Gaon and many others have these piyutim, which are fascinating. It's like a piyut that has like a line per mitzvah or a line per double two mitzvos, and they go through all 613 mitzvos. And if you read it like close enough, you figure out, okay, this is this mitzvah, this is that one. It adds it to 613. Rav Yeruchim Fishel Perlo, who was a 20th century Achron, wrote a 3-volume sefer on Rav Sadia Gaon's poem, where he comes up, you know, he says, okay, so he says it here with this formulation. He obviously holds against the Rambam, and he holds like this, and he has a whole, you know, huge compendium. It's really more of an encyclopedia. Has less to do with Rav Sadia Gaon than the broader topic. But, so yeah, there is this idea of 613. It's in the Gemara and Makos. The Gaonim take it seriously to a certain extent, but the Rambam takes it much more scientifically, you know, as like there's rules, and you have to count exactly, and this one doesn't work, and that one doesn't work, and you have to add these. So it's a little more loose among the Gaonim, yeah.
His whole point is Erev Tochlu Matzos and should be leaving. Why? So that's tough.
Yeah, there is some tension between those two halves. Yeah, you're right. There is a tension within the Bahag, and it's not clear exactly, right? What does he really think? Does he really think it's about jumping the gun and anything before the proper place in the Haggadah is jumping the gun, or is it really about Ba'erev as opposed to earlier, right? And the Nafkin would be, as you said, if you had at night, you had Kiddush and then Matzah, did you really violate this fully, or did you, you know, you violated it in a more minor way? It's not clear. There's this internal tension here. Yeah.
This mitzvah only, or I mean, what? I don't see how you learn chavivus from this.
Why single this out?
From this pasuk, and yeah. Why this mitzvah versus any other mitzvah?
You're right. I mean, the chavivus, I think he's getting from the Yerushalmi. He's getting the chavivus from the Yerushalmi. The pasuk, he's trying to say, well, it sounds like this is really usher. What could be the source to say this is usher? And you have an implication from the pasuk. But I agree, it's not the strongest fit. We'll see. Actually, the Ramah brings down, well, why only matzah? Maybe it should be everything else. Maybe you shouldn't have maror in Erev Pesach, because you want the maror to be chavivus, although that's not clear that works. Maybe you shouldn't have whatever fruits go in your charoses, because you have a taiva for the charoses. We don't seem to have that minhag, but I think the logic that you're raising of like, well, why just matzah? That is, the Ramah actually does take that a step further, which is interesting. Yeah, you could say in terms of, right, mitzvos d'oraisa on the night of Pesach, you have Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's not food, and then you have matzah, right, so that makes sense. Benching and Kiddush, but those are not Pesach specific.
Yeah. Also.
Right, so that's interesting, right, there is a minhag to do it the Shabbos before, but there isn't the minhag to do it the day before, so I don't think it's usher, but it is an interesting idea. Mor is derabanan bizman hazeh. Right, because when you have Karban Pesach, then it's d'oraisa. Okay, the next source, the Sefer HaRokeach, is going to go in a similar direction. He seems to be quoting the Bahag, but with a slightly different formulation. We'll take a look. B'minhagim shel Rabbi Shlomo, that's presumably Rashi, he says, Matzazi hukshu matzah lepesach. So this is going to be a very different angle, although we'll end up in the same place. There's a connection between matzah and Pesach. Okay. B'perek basu desachim, sli eshu matzos, that's the pasuk about having matzah with your carbon Pesach. Ma'asiyas Pesach mizayin umechza. Afasiyas matzah kain. So this idea people, many had this minhag, some still do, of making your matzahs Erev Pesach afternoon, just like you make your Korban Pesach Erev Pesach afternoon, and you make it then, and then you have it that night. So first of all, it's fresher, but also it's almost like it's part of the mitzvah, the making, the shechting of the Korban Pesach and bringing it as a Korban, and similarly, the baking of the matzahs is the beginning of the mitzvah in some sense. Right? It's interesting, Pesach, we think of Pesach as starting on the 15th. If you look in the Torah, it really sounds like Chag HaMatzos starts on the 15th, and Chag HaPesach is the 14th. And it's almost like a weird half day of the 14th. It starts at midday on the 14th. It goes until Chatzos.
It's a great trivia question.
Yeah. What's
Pesach and Pesach?
Right, yeah. So to the extent you take that seriously, maybe you want to bake, and to the extent you connect matzah to Pesach, nowadays we don't have Pesach, matzah is almost the fill-in, so maybe you should make your matzah before. That's an idea raised by the Rokeach. That's going to tie into this next point. The achilas matzah, yeah? Yeah, some chassidim still do that. Yeah, I have a cousin who's, they do it in Brooklyn also. But yeah, people do it. It is a little risky. It is a little risky because if it becomes chametz, right, you do it with the focus.
Because
yeah.
Either you have chametz or you have...
Right, high risk. Right. It's not none of this, no backing out. Yeah. It's a good idea for a sitcom or something. I don't know. TV show, reality TV. Erev, next year's Purim Shpil, right? Okay, good. So in the Rokeach, so he goes from talking about producing the matzah in Erev Pesach, and then he says, Ve'achilas matzah, hukash achilas Pesach, eating matzah is also connected to Pesach. And he says, the Amar Rava, achal matzah v'lo charoses, l'Rabbi Elazar ben Azari, lo yatzi v'dei chovaso. Maybe if you miss out on the charoses, you don't fulfill the mitzvah. Okay, it's not exactly how you get from Pesach to charoses to matzah, but fine. But he's comparing eating the matzah and eating the Pesach, and then he launches into this line: the Asur lechol matzah, the erev haPesach dichsiv ba erev tochlu matzos, and you can't have matzah in erev Pesach because it says ba erev tochlu matzos. So, since he's on this connection between matzah and Pesach, it's possible to understand it like this: he does quote the pasuk of ba erev tochlu matzos that we had in the Bahag, but maybe he's also saying that just like it's Asur to eat the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach, which that we do bring down in the Gemara, maybe that's where he's getting the idea of not having matzah on Erev Pesach. Because the matzah is like Pesach. Just you should bake it on Erev Pesach, eating at night, it's almost like eating Pesach, and eating it early may be prohibited, like eating the Pesach early. Maybe, or maybe it's really just this pasuk of Erev Tochlu Matzos. Sorry?
Nothing to do with Chavivus. Nothing to do with the
He doesn't say Chavivus. He doesn't quote the Yerushalmi, but obviously he's thinking it because it's not in the Bavlis. Presumably he has the Yerushalmi in mind. But yeah, it's interesting how he leaves out the idea of Chavivus, but he does quote Erev Tochlu Matzos, but he does it within a framing that almost sounds like it's more about connection between matzah and Pesach. So that's interesting. The next source, we'll skip the beginning. We'll jump to the underline piece on page 2. He gets into some of the details earlier, but we're not going to have time to go into the full thing about the underline piece. We have enough to work with here on page 2 towards the top. Kasav harokeach, he quotes the rokeach with Simon Reish Pei, De'asur lechol matzah be'erev Pesach, de'chsiv be'erev tochlu matzos. Adkam, we just read that. Mash from the sphere, de'asur mi de'oraisa, he must hold it's an isur de'oraisa. De'havali lava b'michlal aseh, it's a lot about Michal that says eat matzah at night implies don't eat it by day. Right, this is the eating the Korban Pesach. This is the source in the Gemara for the prohibition to eat Korban Pesach by day. Vilesa, the Rokeach is wrong. This is a bad argument to say. But Erev Tochlu Matzos teaches there's an iser aseh to eat it by day. The Hazam miaser kar, you have an extra pasuk by Pesach. Aval hacha darshina le kovo chova lizmanaze olitame v'shayibderachachoka could easily prepare kol shah. Here you don't have an extra pasuk. You need that drasha of erev tochlu matzos to teach that matzah is deoraisa nowadays. V'soch perak arvi pesachim v'chem yerushalmi darish Perik Arvei Pesachim Lo Hizkur Drash Hazu. This drash is not in the Yerushalmi. V'chein Kasev Rambam She'en Yisrach Hizkur Matzav Erev Pesach El Mi Devei Sofer. It's all just Derabanan. The Rambam says so too here. V'lachein Iker Derokech Mi Navshe Asmei Akravido. Derokech doesn't mean it's Deraisa. He found the pasuk. It looks nice. Say Ba'erev Tochlu Matzav is not by day. It's a nice idea. That's not. He doesn't mean it's Deraisa. So this is an example. Right, this the Pri Chadash, an example of sort of the classic logic around this, that it doesn't really add up to say it's Deoraisa. I still think that at least the Bahag may have thought it was, but that's not the standard view. The standard view is that the prohibition against eating matzah and Erev Pesach is Midrabanan. It's good to know. I guess someone has such a taiva to eat matzah and does that in Erev Pesach and needs to do tshuva, you should know that you're doing tshuva for a Durabanan, according to Rove Poskim. Yeah. Of course, there are more real nafkamina, more likely nafkaminas also. Yeah. That would be interesting. I didn't see many people discuss, sort of how you would weigh these things. But presumably, if you had a choice, right? The doctor said you need to eat either chametz or matzah on the afternoon of Erev Pesach. It's pretty clear that you would eat matzah. Right. So there are other ways around. We'll get to that. Other ways of minimizing it further. But let's say that's all you had. Certainly not being Doraisa would downgrade the prohibition there. Okay, let's look at the Rambam. So far we've seen Chavivas, Ba'erev Tochlu Matzos, the comparison to Pesach, combinations of those. But the Rambam has a different approach that also has been mentioned. Asru Chachamim, Lechol Matzah Ba'erev Pesach, Kadesh Yeh Heker La'achilas Ba'erev. Right, the Chavim prohibit eating matzah and Erev Pesach in order that it be recognizable when you eat it at night. If you're the sort of person that you always eat matzah, you're always eating crackers, and then on Pesach night you eat a cracker, shkayach, nothing special about Pesach. So you need to show, at least for one day, or part of one day at least, you don't have your matzah to show that that's what you're doing. Notice this is really about other people seeing you, it's not about yourself, right? It seems like Heker is more objective, whereas Chavivas is much more internal. That Chavivas is about you enjoying it, here it's about other people seeing that eating matzah is different. Umisha achal matzah be'erev Pesach. Listen to this. If you eat matzah in Erev Pesach, makinoso makas mardus, you get malkos, you get lashes for violating a derabanan. Ad sheteitzei nafsho, until you die. Now this word is not in all girsaos, but it is in many of them. The question is, since when do we take this so seriously? We're going to kill you for eating matzah. Presumably what the Rambam means, some of the mefarshim say this, it doesn't mean that as a punishment for eating matzah, we kill you. What it means is, if you are defying the Chachamim and say, I'm going to eat matzah, we say, well, you better stop. You say, no, I'm going to do it. And they're allowed to try to prevent you from eating matzah with malkos, agitate nafsho, meaning not that they're aiming to kill you, but they'll keep trying to prevent you from eating matzahs. But it's not a punishment, it's a preventive measure. That's what the Achronim seem to say, if you have the girsa. Of course, if you don't have the girsa, you get some malkos, but it's not, we don't kill you. I don't know if anyone's ever been killed on this basis, but obviously corporal punishments are not active, at least officially, in the Jewish community today. Yeah, Bernie. It could be. I mean, the Rambam doesn't spell out what exactly the heker is, right? So, I mean, you could say it's about symbolism, but I think the simplest thing is just that to show that you're eating this l'shem mitzvah. Whatever the point of the mitzvah is, you're eating this l'shem mitzvah. Sorry? You're talking about the Rambam and heker, or you're talking about... Could be. Again, I don't see too much on symbolism in the Rambam. It really sounds like it should be recognizable. It should be objectively clear that you're doing something different. Right, Sukkah Yeshana, Sukkah Yeshana, you should build it anew. It shouldn't just be a place, right? I think it's a similar idea, right, to be clear that you're doing it for the mitzvah. Yeah.
narratives always tell a story behind which may or may not have held by Kama Medina for Havdalah, except for Motzi Pesach, who made Havdalah and beer.
Right.
For the Hecker purpose. I don't think it was Hecker. For everyone else to say the reason we avoided Chametz the last 8 days, you should know. It was the first whole thing.
Right.
The reason I avoided it, because they didn't have time before, because we were possible.
Uh-huh. Interesting. I recall hearing that about the grub. Not that those are mutually exclusive. Same family, right. I think the other thing that Groh would do is he didn't believe in the prohibition of gebrachts. So he would always have gebrachts. He would have matzah balls on Pesach. L'hotzi mi libam, right? To disprove the chassidim who wouldn't have gebrachts. That wasn't Hanukkah? Okay, let's continue in the Rambam. So he says, you give malkos, achtetze nafsho, if that's the gersa, v'chein osur lechol erva Pesach mikobra mincha kimat. Similarly, and this is interesting, he says, similarly, you shouldn't eat an Erev Pesach a bit before Mincha, so you enter eating matzah with an appetite. So notice, the fact that he says V'chein, the fact that the Rambam compares these two things, not having matzah in Erev Pesach, and not having any food late afternoon of Erev Pesach, because of the Taiva, indicates there's some connection here. Right? It's not only about Heker, as like people should know you're eating it for the mitzvah, but it's also a little bit that you should experience it as something new. Even though he doesn't emphasize that as much, this comparison to eating bichlal on Erev Pesach makes that point. Aval ochlu me'at peros, o yirukos, you could have some fruit vegetables, le'imali kresim ayam, don't fill up too much. Chachamim harishonim, the early chachamim, and this is based on the Yerushalmi that we saw, hayu mar even atzman Erev Pesach, they would starve themselves on Erev Pesach, te'lechol matzah v'taiva, to eat matzah v'taiva, v'yu mitzvos, chavivin olav, to enjoy the mitzvos, aval shar arvei, yimei tovim ochlu v'holei chachatechshach. Erev yantiv in general, you can eat until nightfall. This is the view of Rabbi Yossi in the Bavli. Usually, Erev Shabbos Yantiv, you can eat, no problem with starting a meal in the late afternoon. But Erev Pesach, dafka not. Because Erev Pesach, we want you to have taiva for the matzah. And that's similar to the reason why you don't eat matzah in Erev Pesach, both for Heker reasons and maybe for the Rambam also taiva. Yeah. The Me'iri, source 8, who's as often follows the Rambam in a variety of ways, goes in a similar direction here. By the way, it's just interesting to see where people bring this down. He's on Daf Yud Gimel, but he's talking about a sugya of Arbas or Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. Right? This happens every so often. Pesach falls out on, Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. Then what do you do? So you want to have your Shalosh Sudos. Really, Shalosh Sudos is supposed to be with bread. But how do you get in three bread meals? How do you get two bread meals during the day? You can have one chametz in the morning. Can you get two chametz meals in the morning? Does that even count? Do you have time to do that? Can you get a matzah meal? Not matzah meal, you understand. What about matzah shira? Does that help? When would you do that? Even you can't do that in the afternoon. Is that even worth it? Maybe just don't do a hamotzi shalosh sudos. Every year, every time it happens, everyone gets all worked up. That's where a lot of this discussion comes up, right? This discussion about what is really usur about eating matzah on Erev Pesach. So that's the sugya that the Me'iri is talking about. Let's jump to the underline. Avlo nemar ledata mitalmud amarav kol ocho matzah be'erev pesach kibol arusosu beis chamiv. They didn't say this point about whoever eats matzah be'erev pesach is like sleeping with one's betrothed. They didn't say that in Yerushalmi. Ella mishehi gia iser chametz. That only is talking about once the prohibition of chametz comes about. Rotzalah remeshe shos lamala from 6 hours and on, meaning from noon and on. Shemisham ve'elach he kein arusa. Right. That's where the metaphor, the comparison, comes in, meaning. When does the Erusin happen? When is there an exclusivity between us and matzah? When is chametz out of the picture? Right, just like in Arusa. When is Kol Adam, when is any other man out of the picture? Erusin. When is chametz out of the picture? Sheshos, at least midoraisa. Right? At noon, it's now usher midoraisa to have chametz. That's when you have Erusin. And from that point on, it's usher to eat matzah. So that's an interesting point. We're going to focus on that in a second. And then he talks about other details, what to do on Shabbos. Jumping to the next underline, Abba Mikol Makom, Lidatenu, even though that logic there is only from the afternoon, only when chametz is aser, is the matzah also aser, just like erusin. Still, we think achilas matzah bechol hayom mechora davar. It's not nice to have matzah all day. Shemishum te'avon nemra. The logic here is te'avon. Notice te'avon is not exactly the same as chavivos, right? If you think about it, chavivos is more about your general excitement and like enjoying it, loving it. Te'avon is about appetite. There's more of a quantitative aspect with te'avon than there is with chavivas, right? You could say you're really full, but you still have some chavivas for this. It's hard to say you're full and you have a te'avon for this. So the Me'iri, following the Rambam, because the Rambam connects the general prohibition on eating to eating matzah on Erev Pesach, the Meiri follows the Rambam and says it's about te'avon. If you fill your stomach with matzah, parach te'avono. So even if you're doing that in the morning, even if the morning of Erev Pesach you have a lot of matzah, and you say, look, the real isser of matzah is only in the afternoon. Okay, but at the end of the day, you're now full of matzah. You're not going to want to eat more matzah. So the Meiri says technically the prohibition is the second half of the day, but the first half of the day you should also avoid matzah, because that's more like the spirit of the law, or the broader idea of the law. And then he talks about how we try to get rid of all chametz before Shabbos, just leave a little bit of food so you can eat it on Shabbos, food for your animals, etc. So the Meiri here both gives us this reason of te'avon explicitly, but also gets us into the question of when does the prohibition of matzah and Erev Pesach start? What's the timing of that iser? So this is a discussion that really features in Perek Gimel, the third Perek of Psachim. It starts with the Rif, who... on the Mishnah, source 9 here, on the Mishnah of Arba Asar Shecholios B'Shabbos, if the 14th falls out on Shabbos, the discussion, do you have to get rid of all your chametz before Shabbos? Or can you get rid of some of your chametz on Shabbos? Or is that Asar? Because beer chametz, is that, maybe that's Malacha. So whole discussion in the Mishnah there. The Rif discusses that sugya, and then at the end of source 9, Yerushalmi, he throws in the Yerushalmi, Amr of Levi, Ocho Matzah, Rav Pesach, Kibbalah, Shazam, Beis Chamiv, Kibbalah, Shazam, Beis Chamiv, Loke. He brings in the Yerushalmi, and then the commentaries on the Rif debate exactly when does this prohibition of chametz and matzah and Erev Pesach apply. So it starts with the Baal Amor in source 10. And he says, Afagav Yersin of Yerushalmi, Lechom Matzah, Erev Pesach, Kibbalah, Shazam, Beis Chamiv, quotes the Yerushalmi, when does that apply? Hani Mili, Mishay Shaos Ulamala, that's only from noon and on, Aval Ad Shay Shaos Mutter, Vidaika Nami, Dimidami Le, La'arusa. As we saw the Meiri was summarizing the Baal Amor, but basically he takes the logic, he says the whole point, it's about Arison. Arison is, you have a stage between nothing and marriage where there is, the Arusa is prohibited to everyone, and is even prohibited to her Arus for some period of time until the marriage. And that's so the period when it's usher for us to eat chametz, that's when the Isser of Matzah also applies, that's when the Arison happens. So that's what he's saying, this Midamili Larusa, the comparison to Arusa, is the logic there. And then he talks about the rest of the sugya, how you get rid of your chametz, the machlokes there. But that's the Baal Amor's view. It's only usher in the afternoon. This would be a big deal, right? You want to have, I don't know, you want to have matzah and cream cheese. The morning, Erev Pesach morning, totally fine according to the Baal Amor. Mechamos says, not so fast. The Ramban, Mechamos, source 11, at the bottom here, quotes the Baal Amor, and now flipping to page 3, he responds to the Baal Amor, Amra Kosev al Davar Zech Hazarti Kan Licht of Yerushalmi. He says, you're not quoting the whole Yerushalmi. You need to quote it in full detail. Then the Ramban quotes the whole Yerushalmi, jumping to the fourth to last line. He says, Zohi Gvar Yerushalmis. And then he says, Ve'ata Lamed Mimena. We saw the Yerushalmi already. He says, what do you learn from Yerushalmi? Shekol Yom Aser. The entire day is Aser. Lecho Matzah. Ketani Allah. Ve'ben Besera. Be'im Mechamech. Ve'im Matzah Aser. Right? That's what Ben Besera said. All day, no chametz, no matzah. That sounds like, he's quoting Rav Levi, sounds like he's saying, no matzah all day of Erev Pesach, Shepirusho, Aser Kol Hayom, Dekenu Vadai, Midlokam Rav Hedrim, Shei Shalos Lomala. Doesn't say, Aser in the afternoon of Erev Pesach, it says Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach means Erev Pesach, the whole day. That's the Ramban. V'chachaya Omer, Al Rebbe, Shunis, on Erev Pesach, Rebbe would fast, Shlei Ochol Matzah, Min Rebbe Levi, Rabbeinu Agadol Zal, Ramazlanu, Kein, Lefich, Chaz Yerushalmi, Azebikan, fine, and that's why if you can't have matzah all day, that's why the Rif brings it down here, right? You can't eat matzah for the whole Erev Pesach. You're in a bind if Shabbos is Erev Pesach. What are you going to eat? Because you can't have any matzah. You have chametz in the morning. That's why he brings it in here. Ve'atamu zeh shekevan shebiur chametz belaila nases lo matzah kearusa bebeis chamiv. He keeps the analogy alive. He takes the logic of the Baal Amor and he flips it a little bit, right? Instead of saying, oh, when is chametz aser? The afternoon of Erev Pesach, so that's when matzah is aser. No, he says it's not dependent on when chametz becomes aser. It's dependent on when you start getting rid of your chametz. When you start getting rid of your chametz, officially, halachically, the real time is when you do bedikah on Leil Yudalid. So the whole day of Yudalid is all getting rid of chametz time. Okay, we give you a little time to get rid of it, right? But it's clear that all chametz is really on its way out, and that's the Arison. The Arison really starts the eve of Yudalid. So the whole Yudalid from the night until, right, 24 hours until Pesach is Usher. That's the Ramban's view. The Ran has a bit of a compromise. It's interesting how he looks at this. We'll look at the underline in source 12. Uladidi miha lo iria de Rabbi Levi hachyamar. Sha'ocho matzber of pesach mishas iser chameitz kibala rusaso. Lemar ki de islay, lemar ki de islay. He says it depends. There's different views on when chametz is usser, and according to your view of when chametz is usser, that will determine when the matzah is usser. Also, keeping that same analogy of the arusa, right? When the chametz is usser, that's when the matzah is usser. So, according to Rabbi Ben Beseira, she'usser la'achol chametz kol hayom, usser gam kein la'achol matzah kol hayom. According to Rabbi Ben Beseira, we don't paskin like him, but he says you can't have chametz for all of erev Pesach. You also can't have matzah for all of erev Pesach. This is the Ramban's proof, right? That people wouldn't eat matzah on all of Erev Pesach. They also hold you can't have chametz on all of Erev Pesach. Matzah nami lo achim midor Levi. But according to us, the lo mitzvah on chametz on mechatzos lemal midor raisa. We hold the chametz only usher from noon and on midor raisa. Inami bisof arba midor banon, or from 10 a.m. and on midor banon. Efsher the matzah nami lo mitzvah elam mechayz manavil elah. So maybe matzah is also only usher from that time. So he gives two possibilities, right? Either chatzosin on, or maybe arba shos, right, 10 or 11 a.m. and on. And that's his view. According to all three of these views, the Balamor, the Milchamos, and the Ran, all of them take this analogy and run with it, right? When chametz is usher, that's when matzah is usher. But they have different definitions of when chametz is usher, right? Three possibilities, really, the whole night, all 24 hours of the day, or just the afternoon, or from arba shos and on. And we saw the Rambam really seems to say, based on the Meiri's interpretation, and really just the Rambam himself, if you ask the Rambam, it sounds like he would say the whole day of Erev Pesach, but not the night before. Right? That's what you would assume, the default. I mean, that's certainly what the Meiri says explicitly. Seems likely that's what the Rambam meant. So we have four different views of when the Isser is, right? From starting the night of the 14th, from the morning of the 14th, after 4 hours on the 14th, or after Chatzos. It's going to be a lot of different views. I would say the main practiced view, I think, again, most people have a minhag for much longer, but like Ikar HaDin, I think we say generally the morning of, which is why that seems to be the main view in terms of how we paskin in general. Fine. Let's look at a couple of other views here. The Rush, we're not going to read inside, but he throws in also this idea of starting from the Zman Isser Chametz based on the comparison to Arison. And notice the Karban Nisanel here in source 14, commentary on the Rush, takes the comparison between Matzah and Erev Pesach and Baal Arusasa Beis Chamiv a step further. This is going to be very exciting. He says, V'taima ki ha-matzah yesh lefaneha sheva brachos. You have sheva brachos on the matzah between Arison and Nisuin. U'birkas Nisuin gam ki yesh sheva brachos. Of course, marriage has sheva brachos. This is based on the Maharil. So how does he get there? V'hachi b'irusho, kiddush, yesh gimel brachos, shalakos, v'kiddush v'shechiyanu, right? Hagafen, mikadesh, Yisrael v'azmanim, and shechiyanu. V'al karpas shtayim, al netilas yadayim, b'zmanim, v'yubarach v'shem srach truma, v'al priyadam, right? Two brachos on karpas. Nowadays, we don't make the yadayim, but they used to. And on netilas yadayim and adama. V'virchas gal Yisrael, at the end of Magid, v'al achilas matzah. And then you eat your matzah. That's seven sheva brachos.
Wash our hands.
Okay, so he doesn't. Yeah, we do wash our hands again. We also say hamotzi. Avon tiyos today. We berachas hamotzi. Lo chashit. Don't count those. To be yom kish ochel nami bevarich shtei brachos. On a normal day, you also wash your hands and say hamotzi. So those don't count. Those are redundant. That's not necessary. You do havdalah on a normal week. There's a lot of rishonim and achronim have their own counts. How you get to seven, or maybe it's nine, because you also count Birchas Arison and Agafen. There's a lot of math that goes on here. This is just one view, but it shows the Rishon really take this idea seriously of Sheva Brachos. It's like Arison.
But is he taking out the meaning that we talked about earlier in terms of Lomar
Sasa? I don't think so. I think he's deepening it, right? He's showing that it's really about anticipation for something. And in Judaism, we don't just jump into something. If something is important and has spiritual value, we don't jump into the gashmius aspect. We have brachos, we sanctify it, we have a whole process, and then you eat the matzah. So, yeah, l'shem yichud, what do you say? Right? That's what you say in the yichud room, right? L'shem yichud. That's a minhag. Okay, so this is an additional idea of the comparison between matzah and ba'al arusa. So, and one more interesting perspective here in the Orchos Chaim. Let's just see. Already quotes the view, it's usher even at night. The Magen Avraham actually says that, although it's not clear we paskin like him. And then he says matzah shira might be different. If you eat it, you get malkos. It ties it to when you start getting rid of chametz. And he talks about the erusin. Fine. So we'll skip the Orchos Chaim. Let's look at the Tashbates. The Rashbats, Rav Shlomo ben Tzemach Duran. And he says, he'll tie this into the Lumdus a little bit. Because everything he said until now, in terms of the logic, well, there's been two different svaras we've applied, right? What is the basis of when it's usher to eat matzah and erev Pesach? What's the main logical conceptual point been? It all depends on chametz, right? It's the idea of the arusa. When chametz is usher, matzah is usher. So when is chametz usher? Already at night, chatzos, 4 hours. That was one factor. The other factor we saw in the Rambam and Meiri is it depends on chavivas or taiva, right? When would it affect your appetite? That's the cutoff point. So that would be the morning, or maybe chatzos. But those are the main svaras we saw. The Tashbates here, so he says, L'divrei Omer, looking at the underline, Asura kol yom, mishum shenemar, lo sishchat al chametz dam zivchi, v'yam machshir, pesach shenishchat shachris, gam ha-matzah, Asura kol yom. He says something that we saw hinted at. We saw hinted at in the Rokeach, that just like Pesach, you're not supposed to eat Pesach on Erev Pesach, you're supposed to eat the Karban Pesach at night, so too, you're supposed to eat matzah at night and not during the day. So this is a different approach. If you think the Isser Matzah is based on Pesach, then maybe it would apply all day. Right, that should apply all day, just like Pesach. But that depends. That's if you say it's from the Pasuk. L'divrei Omer she'ein Pesach nishchat on achar chatzos. But if you think you're only allowed to shech the Karban Pesach at noon, afa matzah in an eseres el achatzos, then matzah is also only usher at noon, right? So he has a whole different dimension here. If eating matzah in Erev Pesach is about the Karban Pesach, then it would depend on when the Karban Pesach is usher, all day or from chatzos. Fine. Then the Ramban says it's based in the Yerushalmi. It's all day. He doesn't like the proof. Fine. So let's jump now in our remaining couple of minutes into, but before we do that, we have to get the source 17. We're not going to read it inside, but a very choppy proof from Reb Chaim, or here it's quoted in the name of the Griz. But they said, according to the Ramban, we saw that Ramban says you can't have matzah even the night before the 14th, right from the time of Bedika. So the Reb Chaim said, I have a disproof to you from the Haggadah. What do we say in the Haggadah? Madashana Zeshmi Kolaz Lelos, Shevichola Lelos, Anu Ochim Chametzu Matzah. What do you mean? You can't have matzah on Leil Yadalit, according to the Ramban. So how can we say B'chol HaLeilos Anu Ochel Chametzu Matzah, according to the Ramban, the Isser to eat matzah already starts on the eve of the 14th. That goes against the Haggadah. Must be the Ramban's wrong. It's mutter to eat matzah the night of the 14th. That was the diuk that Reb Chaim made. Is a very big chop. Not clear that works. Of course, and there's different gersaos. This article I cited here says actually the original gersa, or an early gersa, says v'chol leili Shabbos v'yom tov anu ochlim chametzu matzos. Then the whole proof wouldn't work. Fine, it's an interesting, a nice chol moed also. But that's part of Pesach, halal hazeh and Pesach. But yeah, there are a few disproofs to Reb Chaim's proof, but it's a nice proof. But let's, with our remaining couple of minutes,
you don't have to have matzah.
Yom Kippur, you can't eat anything, right?
You don't eat matzah.
Sorry?
There's no chiv to have matzah.
There's no chiv to have matzah. Right, you're not saying you have to, but you can't have chametz, so it definitely isn't literal in that sense. Okay, there are some disproofs to the Reb Chaim, but it's still a very choppy Reb Chaim. Our last 2 minutes, we'll just do this outside, I think. The question of what matzah is included in this prohibition. Are we talking, and there's a few different standards that we find. One thing, Tosfos that we saw already mentioned two different things. Mentioned number one, maybe it's only usher to eat matzah that you can be yotzei the mitzvah with. Right, that's one way of thinking about it, like formally. Is this the sort of matzah you can be yotzei the mitzvah? If so, you can't eat it on Erev Pesach because we want almost to save, maybe heker works best according to that, right? It's like a heker, the sort of thing you can be yotzei the mitzvah, save it for the night, don't have it during the day. On the other hand, others say that it's not really based on whether you're yotzei the mitzvah or not, it's based on whether it's called matzah, whether it has shame matzah or not. So So, for example, if you have matzah that's not shmura matzah, bitzeko shel nachrin, as it's referred to in the Tosos there, right? You can tell it's not chametz based on the way the cracks are in the, on the matzah, but it was cooked by non-Jews. So it's not matzah shmura in any sense, and you can't be yotzei the mitzvah. Can you eat that on Erev Pesach? Well, on the one hand, you can't be yotzei the mitzvah, so maybe you should be able. On the other hand, if it's about chavivos, if it's about, you know, if it's about preparing, if it's about te'avon, this would totally ruin your appetite. It looks like matzah, it just is not lishma. It doesn't have the formal requirements of it. So that's a bit of a different perspective. One other thing that comes up that the poskim talk about is, well, you know, what if something was matzah and then you try to dematzify it? For example, the classic here is matzah balls, right? You have matzah, you crumple the matzah, you cook it. Now it's something totally different. You say mizonos on matzah balls, right? It's not bread anymore. It's something else. So do you say it's usur or not? So I think the main view, I brought it down here, is that matzah balls are actually technically mutter on Erev Pesach. I don't want to offend anyone. I can never see this happening in the household I grew up in. But technically, matzah balls might lose the shame matzah, which misvara makes a lot of sense, right? It's not, you can't be yotzei the mitzvah. It doesn't taste like matzah.
Maybe do Shabbos Erev Pesach.
Maybe, but that only gives you mizonos. That would, I mean, depending on what you do, right? You want to find, if you're taking away the shame matzah, usually it won't be a hamotzi anymore. And you want a hamotzi for your...
boil matzah too, you know.
Right, but I think if you're boiling it, you might lose your shame, you might lose your hamotzi, which you want if you want to get shalosh sudos. But yeah, that could be at least part of a solution. So you lose the shame matzah, that would presumably be mutter, although some actually say it depends on when you made the Knedlach. Listen to this, right? If the Knedlach were made before before Erev Pesach, then it's mutter. But if it started off as matzah, you have matzah on Erev Pesach, that matzah becomes a chefta shel iser. You can't take that, crumple it up, and make a matzah ball. No, it's already treif. It's already not edible on Erev Pesach. So maybe that's a factor. Some posts can talk about that. Chefta shel, you're not supposed to have, right? It's not at all simple that this svar works precisely for the reason you're saying, right? Usually we say that with Isurim, that it takes a status, you can't lose the status. We wouldn't necessarily say that with matzah. We are out of time, so we'll close here and just say everyone should have a lot of chizuk to fulfill this mitzvah, not have matzah in Erev Pesach. That way we can enter the chag with full excitement for the wonderful, exciting, and tasty mitzvah of achilas matzah.